Representative Stevens, welcome to 710 KNUS. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Well, I am living the dream. Thank you for being here. How you liking this whole Senate race business?
Oh, my goodness. You talk about just the energy and the time. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. It's really quite something else. But the great thing about it is people of Colorado, and the people of Colorado are ready for a change, and they sense it. This has been building. You and I know this with the recalls mm-hmm. and everything else. I think we're sitting at a very good point. But that point will only happen if we really work together to make that happen. And I think we have got to be about winning here. And as you know, sometimes we don't always do that so well. And mm-hmm. I think we've got to really pull together and make this thing happen. I see it around the state. People want the change. Small businesses want to grow. You know that. And people want health care, which is why I'm on your show here, and we're talking about this scandal, which it still is to me a scandal.
Yeah, and let's break that down, and then I'd love to talk to you a little bit about how this Senate race is shaping up and how to best accomplish what you say and what I've said for years, and I think most people have said, which is, wait a second, most people believe in our core principles, and most people would be inclined to vote those principles. Yet we somehow keep managing to lose winnable elections. And I want to talk with you about how we can do that differently here. But let's start with this Udall stuff. I just honestly had to laugh as I read this piece this morning about the state clearing Udall because finding there was zero intimidation, because I'm just going back to Todd's original stories, and I'm just reading the emails that were sent by Joe Donlan, Director of External Affairs, Department of Regulatory Agencies. Quote, Senator Udall says our numbers are wrong. They are not wrong. Cancellation notices affected 249,199 people. They want to trash our numbers. I'm holding strong while we get more details. And then she writes another the following day saying, following my email, I received a very hostile phone call from Udall's deputy chief of staff. Marguerite is on the phone with Udall's chief of staff right now. Happy Friday. It is what it is, no matter what the state tells you it is.
Exactly, Dan. And seriously, that letter would have gotten to Barbara, I think, probably Barbara Kelly, who's head of the Department of Regulatory Agencies, Friday. I sent it through normal mail. But clearly, in 24 hours, they just thought they had the job done. I mean, I guess, you know, I've never seen anything else in state government go so fast. Have you? I haven't. Yeah. I
Top
certainly
priority,
haven't.
Clearing Mark Udall.
Yes, exactly. And I had to laugh because these letters, I mean, I don't know. I would swear someone on Udall staff wrote them. But really, this is really, when have we seen a sitting U.S. senator sit here and pressure? I know Joe Donlan. I'm going to tell you, I've worked with her for years because I've been on the business committees and oversight committees for the Division of Insurance. Joe Donlan is an upright person. Joe Donlan, to me, has always tried to get us the best information and most accurate. To ask Joe to change this is nothing short, to me, of a scandal. And the reason why is these are real people. Why, you know, I mean, can you imagine, Dan, if mm-hmm, you had mm-hmm. cancer and we just want to erase you off the face of the earth, your plan didn't matter. Okay, you don't matter. Just because Udall had a bill that he wanted to introduce to look good. Now, I'm sorry, but now we're finding, actually, as of, yesterday through Congressman Gardner, the numbers are actually higher
now. Right, 335,000?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not less. It's worse. It is worse.
And even Udall concedes that under his interpretation of this, there are still 20 or 30,000 who are just flat outright canceled because of Obamacare, and each of those people matter. But and that spins, Representative Stevens, our guest running for U.S. Senate, that spins into the broader race. It seems to me that when you've got a senator who was the deciding vote in favor of a debacle like Obamacare and has essentially, you know, been absolutely lockstep with Barack Obama at least 97% of the time, that's a winnable race. So tell me at this point what you think you have to do, what you think the GOP has to do to win this race.
Well, first of all, I have been observant that we seem to go from election to election. People are rubbing their eyes now, waking up out of the coma that we've been in since we lost in 2012. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know about you. I couldn't get out of bed. I was heartbroken, and I know a lot of people were.
We had a very contentious 210 Senate race that should have been won, that should have been won against an unknown. And I was on the receiving end of that because we were trying to take the House majority. And we saw our numbers as the Senate, as the top tickets started to go down when my opponent, Ken, exploded. And then we had the governor's debacle. I saw us go from 11 to 10 to 9 to 8, you know, in polling, and 7 on seats, one. Now, if we're going to be serious about winning, then we have to understand that it matters who's on the ticket and who can be competitive, and not just competitive fiscally, because, of course, you and I know these are huge. These are races that build, and these are things that have to get going. But you and I know that there has to be someone that can take on toe-to-toe who the incumbent is. Taking on an incumbent is not easy. We have to be very focused, and we have to be very together.
Yeah, and he's likely to outspend you, right? Because, I mean, the left has an unlimited pocketbook and all sorts of tricky ways to do it. But let me ask you, Amy, there are other fine people, as you know, in the race running against you. Why do you believe you have the best chance to win against Mark Udall?
Well, because I know what it is to win. I win, and I understand. I was in the most watched primary last year in the state, as you know, through redistricting and reapportionment with a fellow Republican, which was awful. And I was outspent 3-1, and I won by 20 points. And I did that by working smart and disciplined and really reaching out to people. I think we're going to have the same thing this time. I think that we have to understand how Democrats play their game. You and I know there'll be another war on women. They'll try to drag that out. But I do, and it doesn't matter whether you're man or woman, they just drag it out anyway. But I do think that my experience as House Majority Leader, having won, being articulate on issues. Dan, I worked on federal issues, I think, as you know, through Focus on the Family, on welfare reform and other issues before I got to the House. So I'm not unfamiliar with how Congress works, and I'm not unfamiliar with issues. I am prepared. The other thing that I think is important, and having been probably one of the few women leaders in Colorado, I mean, I hate to have Republican women leaders, and that is a shame, too. We need more. But I do believe I stand a very good chance, should I win the primary, to take on Senator Udall on issues that they normally love to hit our men with. And I think as a woman, I have a very strong voice to speak about.
And I think those are all very fine points. And we'll have all of the candidates on at different times and then a big debate. But and I've always thought you'd be a very strong statewide candidate. But how do you thread the needle here? How do you walk that line between winning the primary, making the case that you have the best chance to beat Mark Udall, and not turning this into a circular firing squad where our candidates are so weakened, you know, that they can't win the general?
Yes. Well, I will tell you, I have understood, and the team that is with me, we believe that in order to win this statewide and to take on an incumbent, that I would not be able to go the assembly route. That I am going to petition on to the ballot. Through the petition process, Walker Stapleton did it. Others have done it. Doug Lamborn did it. But my reasoning is, and I believe in both, but my reasoning here is to reach a broader audience. You know, you've got to get a minimum of 1,500 signatures per congressional district. Let's just say you're getting 14,000 for the sake of the argument out of 7 districts. That's 14,000 people you've reached. Versus in the case of our assembly, which is good, but we have 4,000 very committed Republicans. If you come out of this and then you get on the ballot, what you do is you target this on a broader level. I believe that has to be done to take on an incumbent. Others may not. It's a strategy issue. You know, we can all disagree on strategy or not. But that's the strategy I believe that will get us there and will get me there to win the primary.
Right. And beyond the issue of petition versus assembly, in your direct interactions, and this is not to discount any other candidate in the race, but for simplicity at the moment, between you and, say, Ken Buck, two people I both admire tremendously, you're both very skilled and both would be great U.S. senators, how do you go out and make your case that you would have a better chance to beat Mark Udall than Ken without, again, getting into, say, the thing Holtzman and Beaupre got into, which I really think was Mark's fault, and some of these other examples where we just ate our own?
Well, I think this depends on the issue of winning. And again, Ken was our candidate in the year of 2010 and did not win. Now, I understand people have comebacks and people can, but I believe that I am not only a fresher face and articulate voice, but I think when we had someone who was not known, who was not an incumbent, and Ken didn't make it work, I am not convinced Ken has given us an argument as to why we should go down this path again. And I call the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over with the same results. I also believe nationally, and I've heard this in my travels, that there's not going to be, you know, when someone wins a primary, people rally, come around, the party goes and whatever. I do not believe that's going to happen should Ken be the nominee. I do believe this would happen should I become the nominee, because I think there'll be a lot more interest in this race and a lot more support.
Amy Stevens,
I've had
our
great,
guest.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had great support, and it's really been very gratifying. It's very learning. It's very humbling, I think.
And Amy, in our last minute together, do you personally believe that, say, all other things being equal, that a female candidate would have an advantage in the Senate race over a male candidate?
I do. I actually do, because of the time and the year in which we are, because of the issues that Democrats bring up. I think I have a unique ability to speak to that. I have a unique ability to speak to the life issue and or family and or other issues such as health care, public safety, all the things that I've advocated for. So, yes, I do. In this election, I think it's going to matter.
Mm. Really appreciate the time today. Glad you're in the race. I think it's important that you're in the race, and it'll be fun to watch all of this play out. And we hope to get, you know, all of the candidates in studio for a shootout, and let's stay in touch.
I will. Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Thank you very much. That's Amy Stevens, state rep, candidate for U.S. Senate.